as our great tradition here on the weekly, I invite you to stand with me as we read from the Word this morning, John chapter 8. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Then the Pharisees said to him, "You are testifying on your own behalf. Your testimony is not valid." Jesus answered, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid because I know where I have come from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is valid. For it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is valid. I testify on my own behalf, and the Father who sent me testifies on my behalf." Then they said to him, "Where is your Father?" Jesus answered, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also." He spoke these words while he was teaching in the treasury of the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. The Word of God. Please be seated. I want to start this morning, and I'll do my best not to be long because we've already had a phenomenal service, but I want to start by saying Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day, fathers. Yes. In great tradition of celebrating dads, my sermon will have nothing to do about you. But we will reflect on VBS and children, and that is the joy of all dads' hearts. So enjoy this, dads. You're welcome. All week long, our campers have been on a quest. Not a quest for treasure, not a quest for trophies. Though there were some crowns given, and there were snacks, lots of good snacks. Not just for the children. If you came as an adult, you got snacks. And every adult knows snacks is as good as treasure around here. But underneath the songs and the delicious snacks and the sugar were some deep questions chasing answers. Questions that loomed all week long. Where is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Where is Jesus during the difficult times? What sacrifice would or has Jesus done for me? And what happens when we mess up? How does Jesus feel? All week long, these campers wrestled with these questions. These are deep and beautiful questions. It's not light material for a five-day camp. These are the questions of the Christian journeyman. These are our questions. All of us wrestle with these questions. Every game, every craft, every station was pointing them towards one thing: learning to walk in the way of light in a world that often tries to keep them from knowing who they are and whose they are. And this is a journey for all of us. We are all truly a part of Vacation Bible School. Welcome. You and I don't get the shirts as cool as, well, I do, I get the cool shirts. But not all the adults get cool shirts. You don't get a name tag. But indeed, all of us are looking at these same basic Christian tenets, asking the same questions of God. We all know what it's like to believe and not always fully grasp or fully enact or react. I don't know if you've ever driven behind someone who drives as if no one else has a rush to go anywhere. Have you been behind that person? And you say to yourself, they are inconsiderate because they're not thinking about your time schedule. Have you been around that person? And you press on your horn to gently, in the name of Christ, remind them to scoot up a little bit. Have you been around that person? And then you maybe had to press on the gas and get around these people because of just how lackadaisical they are about driving places. And you may give them a stern Christian look of sorts. Have you driven behind that person? And then you turn into the same exact driveway they turn into. Have you been in that situation? You pull into church and they pull in right behind you. Oh, happy Sabbath. You and I, we get to be, all of us, a part of VBS because we journey with these same exact questions as our young people. It's not only about having fun, it is about learning. Jesus, where are you in the darkness? Are you indeed the light? That's where we meet Jesus in the text. John here this morning introduces us to Jesus in chapter 8. Jesus stands up in the temple in the middle of the feast, and he makes this bold claim, one of the boldest claims in all of Scripture. He stands up and he says, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Before we get too far into this, I want to take you to a darker place. Literally, a place that was darker. A few weeks before I got married, my brother, one of my closest friends, Chris Watkins, and another really close friend, we went to Hawaii, the Big Island. And we went to church, and when we went to church, we met this old man there, and he says, hey, have you ever been in a lava tube before? No, we've never been in a lava tube before. He says, come to my house after potluck, and I'll send you down a ladder into a lava tube. And so we went to his house, and we went into his backyard. Sure enough, there's this massive hole in the ground. This was a remote area, and he had this very auspicious-looking ladder that went down into a deep hole. And none of us thought to ourselves, this is a bad idea. Okay, we'll just climb down this ladder of this stranger in a remote place where we can't call for help. He says, don't worry, it's safe down there, but you know, as you're walking through the caverns and as you're hiking, some spaces are really, really tight, so you're gonna have to crawl through there. If you're claustrophobic, you won't like it. Some spaces are so wide, it'll be cavernous. You could drive a whole rig through there. You see that? That's one there on the island that's maintained by the state. You see how there's lights in there? Because if there were no lights, it would be pitch black in that space. Go to the next shot. You see, this is how, you see it? See how pitch black that is? Yeah, because there's no picture on the screen. That's just a black slide. But I wanted you to capture what it was like when there were no lights. So we had a flashlight, and one of the four had an actual flashlight, and one of the other four had a little headlamp that was very dim. The fourth person in the back had the headlight. I was the second person. My brother was the first with the little flashlight. I put him in the front because I feel like he's a tastier morsel, right? If there's something in there to get one of us, it'll be him. He looks like good meat to eat. And the person in the third was also Polynesian, and he was a girthy kind of human being. So when the cave got tight, he blocked all the light that came from the little light behind us. We traverse into this cut, and it gets tight, and we're going, and it's super dark. And at one point, we decide, let's go back out. And so we turn around to go back out. And as we're going back, we realize that at one point of this trip, there was a 7-foot ledge that we would have to go down. And as a good, caring, and kind sibling, I said, Rolando, you go first. So Rolando reluctantly said, okay, all right. He said, if I get hurt, no, you'll be fine, Roll. You'll be fine. Just bounce. When you get to the ground, bounce. He traverses down this side. I'm holding the flashlight so that he can kind of see what's happening. He gets to the bottom, and then he looks at me and he says, okay, throw me the flashlight so that I can come down. And I said, all right. Excellent aim, the trajectory of my throw. I tossed it right at him, and I hit him square in the face. Just before I threw it, I thought it would be a great idea if I pointed the actual flashlight in his face so that he can see where the flashlight was. Instead, it was like watching slow motion, watching a cow get hit by a car. Just boo. The thing drops to the ground. I'm already partially halfway down this ledge. I'm gripping onto the side of the wall. The thing hits the ground, rolls away, and clicks off. And now it is pitch black. I'm holding on to the crevices of this ledge. And I just think to myself, I'm about to die. I couldn't see anything, and I didn't know how much further I had to go. I didn't know what was around. I wasn't even exactly sure where Rolando was, if he had moved or not. All I heard was him groaning, partly upset, partly hurt from the flashlight. And I thought to myself at this moment, what do we do? And let's sit us here just for a few seconds on the ledge. I'll be honest. Those 20, 25 seconds was the longest 20, 25 seconds of my life. I was frightened. I had no idea how much further the ground was. I had no idea if Roll would be able to catch me or if he was even down there still. And I just held on for as long as I could. Darkness didn't just take away my sight, it took away my sense of where I actually stood and whether people around me were still with me. The darkness caused me to hesitate and question, will I make it past this moment? That feeling, that disorientation, not knowing how close danger really is, not knowing if you're truly alone or if there's indeed a better day or better way ahead, suspended in this moment of darkness, pitch black, unsure what might come next. These moments feel as if they are an eternity. January 1, 1863, Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation. Freedom was declared that day. Truth was moving, but it had not yet reached Texas. It was a provocative and alive kind of truth. It was making its way through battle lines and Union armies, and it kept pressing to the front lines, pushing its way across our nation. And though in 1863 of January 1, there was a proclamation that was made, Texas hadn't received that truth yet. So these individuals had to wait 2.5 years. People who were already legally fully free were still living as though the ledge below them had no bottom. It's similar. It's a similar gap for John chapter 8. You see, John is bringing us into the passage, and the people here, they're celebrating the festival of Tabernacle, the Sukkot, right? They're there, and they're remembering what God did in the wilderness. It was dark. It was frantic, anxious times. Will there be enough food? Will our enemies eventually catch us? Can we make it? Is there enough direction? Who here in the darkness is a friend, an ally? Who is an enemy? And so God came down in a pillar of light to lighten the way for these Israelites. So there was warmth, there was direction, and there was a revealing of the way to go. The people around Jesus and in that time were celebrating this. They were celebrating the way that God's providence showed up in bright light to care for them as they were carried into the promised land. They were celebrating the truth that God's presence had guided Israel through the wilderness by a pillar of fire. And so they would celebrate the light, which they associated to the Torah, or to God's word. So God's law became a part of that. So during this tabernacle of feasts, they would celebrate the law, the Torah. They would read it. They would talk about it. It would be a part of their rhythm. The psalmist's spirit rung out in the air. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's in that moment, the dark nights where Jesus is with the people. The tabernacle is lit with these bright candle lights. Jesus stands up in that glow while they are celebrating and says, I am the light of the world. The presence in the darkness, the lamp to your feet, the light to your path, that which gives direction. When Jesus stands, he proclaims all of that to the people. They were doing religious things. These were religious leaders. And so they push back on Jesus. Jesus, how can you give witness of yourself? And they're trying to control and guide Jesus into a corner because for those who are religiously established, power and control often is a temptation. We like, as those who are religious-centered people, to dictate who gets in and who doesn't get in. And it's very tempting as Adventists. We like to look at other people and say, oh man, you're gonna eat that? You're not in. Oh wow, you're going to worship on that day or that day or that day? You're not making it in. And we try to say it with some pity, like we love them, but the truth is, we're like, yeah, I made it. I get in. Because I know enough or do enough. And so these gatekeepers, they're very uncomfortable by Jesus. These religious, the religious establishment had all the right credentials and the law and the feasts and the lamps and the lineage, and they still could not see, not because God was hiding from them, but because they were looking for God in hierarchy and control and power and purity codes instead of in the person standing right in front of them. The one healing on the Sabbath, the one eating with the outcasts, the one refusing to let religious boundary lines decide who gets to belong to God and who doesn't. Light didn't fail them. Their categories failed them. Sometimes, as people who are deeply religious and passionate, our categories blind us to the gospel of Jesus' light. So back to the cave. I'm holding on for dear life. The two behind me are waiting to see if I fall to my death. I don't hear Rolando very much. And all of a sudden, Rolando, who was on the ground, found the flashlight and clicked it on. And as he clicked it on, it wasn't that I could just see again. It was the warmth. It was the warmth of being able to see color and to see things around me. It was the safety that all at once flooded back into my chest. There was a sense of hope and revealing that took place. And when I looked down to see just how far I had to go to my death, I realized that I was almost practically on the ground. And so I let go. And Roll said, yeah, you're fine. I had no idea exactly how close I was until there was enough light to remind me that you are never too far away. The light of Jesus, who says, I am the light of the world, reveals that you are never too far away from God. The light of Christ reveals that indeed, even if I can't see them, there are others around me who are there not only for me, but that I could be there for. I was not in danger as I had convinced myself I was in. When Jesus says, I am the light of the world, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, I believe that's an invitation into a way of seeing. Jesus here is helping us see differently. Light in John's gospel is never primarily about behavioral management. It's about awareness. To be aware. I think he's doing exactly, Jesus, what the flashlight did. The second it came on, it helped to reveal something that was there the whole time. that one, we belong to each other, and that two, we are closer to solid ground than fear has allowed us to believe. God's presence is not far off, and that old division of us versus them, in versus out, doesn't hold up once the light of Christ comes up. Truth doesn't sit still waiting to be discovered. It moves. And although it took 2.5 years, on June 19th, 1865, it finally arrived. Union Major General Gordon Granger landed in Texas and issued the General Order Number 3. This is General Order Number 3. The people of Texas are informed that, in accordance with the proclamation from the executive of the United States, all slaves are free. Oh, y'all almost got me there. Here we go. All slaves are free. That's it. A sentence. No fanfare, no parade, no viral videos. No one to recognize it, just a soldier with a piece of paper at the end of a truth that had been traveling for 2.5 years for people to hear. Ah, when the truth arrived in Galveston, Texas on June 19th, when freedom had already been real, finally caught up with these people, they didn't just say thank you. They jumped for joy. There was singing in the streets. There were cookouts. There were prayer meetings that had turned into celebrations. This was good news for the whole of the nation. These were people who had already been freed, but did not know how to live into it until someone came along and said, "Yes, you indeed have the rights to care and be cared for equally like every other man and woman in this country." This tells us something that's true. The former slaves didn't throw a party because they'd just been informed of an obligation. They threw a party because they just discovered that they were already free, that they get to start living like it right now. The light that they were given let them know they have already been freed and get to live it right away. We got out of our cave. The sun was still up. There was still enough light. And the deep joy of being able to see all things in its brightness and to know that there was indeed light that illumined the world even while I was under the earth in darkness was so beautiful and freeing. Jesus, the light, is the kind of light, that kind of light. It's a warm light. Jesus is a warm light. Jesus is a revealing light. Jesus is a safe light. Darkness cannot dampen it, cannot stop it, cannot diminish it, cannot move the way of Jesus. And when the light of Jesus bears true in a community, life begets life. Goodness begets goodness. Forgiveness begets forgiveness. We leave this place filled with joy, ready to dance in the streets. That's okay. I didn't expect you to say amen. We're Adventists. I get it. Dancing's not our thing. It's fine. It's fine. The ordinary everyday sunlight outside of the cave entrance felt like a gift. The light of Jesus is a gift. It brings warmth and goodness. This light didn't change the truth. It just revealed the truth that God was never far away. That's the gospel. The light of God is not something we have to earn, chase down, or finally deserve. It's already true, already moving towards us, already closer than how we feel in this moment. That's worth singing over. That's worth dancing in the streets about. I pray that we continue to be the kind of church that is not obligated to judgment, but instead the kind of church like these campers and counselors all week who have been doing life together. Counselors like Sebastian, who was intentional about holding conversations with his kids. Teachers like Angela, who gave the preschool lesson 3 times a day. Helpers and directors like Trinity and Sophia, who led praise, who stayed engaged, who mentored their volunteers. Little campers like Maya Fargo, who tried to tie the shoelaces of another preschooler. Precious. Like Eden and Madden, our student team leads, who led with courage and kindness. May we be a church that captures the light of Jesus like that and goes dancing into the streets. So, what are some ways that we can do this? I'm gonna give you 2 ways, and then I'm closing up because we got music to do. First one is this. In order for us to continue being the kind of place that sees and that is safe, we wanna make sure that our congregation is cared for. If you've come and you've joined us today, welcome, 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 welcome. We hope that you feel welcomed. We have been doing a project called the Pew Project, Pew People Project, and it's been a vision and dream of Pastor Raywin. She's given me the opportunity to take it on as part of my doctoral dissertation project. And so I'd love to invite you to please take the survey. We took a survey in February, and then we instituted the Pew Project people to see if we can care for each other better, see each other, and love each other. And I'm asking if you wouldn't mind taking that survey one more time so that we can look at how things went. And if you didn't take it the first time, that's totally fine. You don't have to take them both times. So if you're visiting with us, I'd love to hear back from you because that'll help us. That'll help the formation of our church here. So that would be 1. Pop on that survey and go for it. It'll be quicker than my sermon was, I promise. 2nd thing that you can do is on our pews, if you look right in front of you, on the legs of the pews, you'll see these little La Sierra tags, these Be Well tags. You can take your phone and you can tap on that. And if you tap on that, we'll immediately take $50 from each of you. No, that's not true. That's not true. It's true, no. When you do this, the first line that'll come up will be the survey, and please do feel free to do the survey. That would really help me and our church, and it'll help all of us become a more hospitable space. But right under that, you'll see the program. So if you're wondering where we are in the worship service, you'll be able to find it there. And just underneath that, there'll be 5 tabs. There'll be a prayer tab. There'll be a growing tab. There'll be a serve tab. There'll be a give tab, and there'll be a belong tab. If you'd like to be prayed over or prayed for, our prayer team would love to be praying for you. If there's something that's going on in life that you need some prayer warriors, put it in there. Maybe you're waiting for that job. Maybe you're working through some health stuff. Maybe you're seeking some wisdom from God. That prayer tab is for you. Tap on it. Send your prayers in. Our prayer team will be praying over that list weekly. Maybe you're wanting to grow in this space a little bit more. How can I be a part of the agency, of the feet of good news, the one who's experienced the light of Jesus and create dancing in this space? You can tap on that one. That one is a life group. So if you want to jump into a life group, all kinds of amazing life groups here. You can do sewing. You can do pickleball. You can do hiking. If you want to jump on the Pathfinders, we're looking for Pathfinder leaders, adults. So jump on there. You can get into one of our Sabbath school study courses classes. If you want to serve, there's a serve button there. If you want to give, you can tap on the give button there. If you want to belong, maybe you've been visiting or you've just been hanging out and God's been pushing on your heart, hey, this is your home church, but you haven't made a decision and you kind of want to make that decision, make the decision, tap that button and become a part of this membership. Those are just a couple of things you can do to be a part of this beautiful, brilliant light that Jesus emanates into this community, La Sierra University Church. We don't have to walk in lockstep to walk together. We just have to keep reaching for each other in the dark, trusting that the light is there and that it was never meant to shine just for us, but indeed a light for the world. Be well.